What's up, Dialed fam? Welcome to episode 163 of the Dialed Health Podcast. My name is Derek Teal. I'm the owner and head coach here at DialedHealth.com, which is strength training for cyclists. And on today's episode, I'm going to recap the Everest Rome. This is a special episode because it's just going to be you and me. This is like old times. I used to do solo episodes all the time, but to avoid any major rants or sidetracking too much, which I mean, that's probably inevitable, but I did make very extensive notes, mostly to make sure I really told you guys about this day because there's a lot to talk about. It was a 24-hour ride, and to kind of whet the appetite a little bit, the wet the whistle, I don't know if any of that made sense already, but I want you guys to know that this ride was a TSS score of 903. If that means anything to you guys, if you're tracking power, if you're really in tune with your training, you're going to know what that means. And yeah, so let's dive in. I'm going to begin with a bunch of thank yous, and you can skip forward if you don't want to hear the names, but it's just a minute or two, and it will kind of foreshadow some of the characters that are going to come along in the story of this day. After that, we're going to get into like the ride profile itself. Besides the TSS score, I have every stat that you're going to want to hear. We're going to talk about the route of the ride, and then we're going to separate the ride basically into all the climbs that were over 2,000 vertical feet, because I did Everest, so there was a ton of climbs that were, you know, well over 1,000, but if it wasn't over 2,000, it didn't make the cut to at least separate the day. And throughout the recap, once we go in order of, you know, the order of events, I will be giving you guys food updates, because I will say I considered trying to track and record everything I ate during this ride, but it would have been so hard to do. I actually tried to do it during the Double Everest, and we basically threw all the food wrappers and everything, including banana peels, into a trash bag when I was done with the day so I could pull it all back out. Well, I didn't get to it for a week and there were maggots covered and everything. So I didn't want to go that route, and to have the thought process of recording everything because you eat so much, I think it would have been too much. So I don't have exact food counts for you guys, but I think as you hear what I ate throughout the day, you're going to get a really good idea of how much I actually took in and what types of foods I took in. Then we're going to talk about the recovery. It's actually 4 days since I finished the ride, and kind of the first day that I don't feel like I've had so much brain fog that I can think a little bit. You know, I intended to even record this yesterday, but I realized I'm just not in a position mentally. I mean, I've been going through these waves of energy, and when you crash really, really hard after something like this. So now we're doing it. Now, so let's get into these thank yous real quick. First off, I got to thank the main drivers. This was my dad, Jim Teal, Pete Muir, and Todd Beasley. They basically split the driving to make sure that our videographer, Zach Youngberg, could get around and capture all of the content for the day. So he did photos, video, which will be coming out in October sometime, full documentary, like the Double Everest. We're going to keep it a little bit shorter, a little bit more of a raw format, but the style of it's going to be awesome. We have some examples, and I think it's going to be a really, really cool description of the day, like just a cool way to watch it. So huge thank you to him. He also did the live updates on my Instagram story throughout the day, and he was posting the live tracker, which we did through Live Track on Garmin. So huge thank you to everyone following along with that. We had the rider drivers. This was for certain people to ride segments of me that didn't want to ride the whole thing, understandably. This was Greg Lee, Jonathan Lee's dad, Eric Kirsten, David Kirsten's dad, and James Velasco, Jacob Velasco's dad. And they basically met up with their sons on certain locations so that they could even either be dropped off or picked up so that I didn't have to ride any of this solo. That was huge. Now, I want to thank the route builder, Tony Marengo, and the pacer and riders, Jonathan Lee and Tony Marengo. They basically refined this route together. The majority of the route was built with Tony, but Jonathan Lee helped me with all of the pacing for the day. Even though we didn't really stick to plan, it gave us enough of an idea and at least confidence that we could do this within one day, which was huge. Now, as I mentioned, I didn't have to do any of this ride solo, and I'm really grateful for that, especially toward the end of the night, But even starting at 4 a.m., I rolled out with people, and there was this crazy rotation of people throughout the day that was kind of surreal. Because if you go and look at some of these rides individually, like David's ride or Jonathan Lee's ride, they're like 100 miles with 7K, 8K, 10K of climbing, and that was only a third of the day. And it really puts it into perspective. And so, huge shout out to all the riders that showed up: Jacob Velasco, Jeff Rosales, Travis Tuft, Alex from Nevada City, Dylan Jones, Dylan DeSaro, who, by the way, drove out from Salt Lake City. It's like a 9-hour drive to get out here. We have Kyle from Reno, his buddy, Bryce Lewis, Fred Stamm, David Kirsten, and Greg Young, who met us on the side of the road at 3 a.m. to finish it off. Now, there were a couple signs out there. Allie Didier, thank you for standing at the bottom of Mount Rose with a sign. I needed that at the time. It said, "Go Derek, zoom like Froome." And there was also a sign by Lauren Kress, OG Dialed fan member, actually previous winner of the Dialed Health Shred, and she made one early on that was hanging in Colfax for us to ride by. I also want to shout out to Brent Rubelin, who stopped at a gas station to come and say what's up, and the mysterious Oreo hand-up guy. Who are you? I need to find out who this was. As we rolled back into town, which you're going to hear, there was a guy standing on the side of the road, parked, handing Oreos to us in these little two-stack double-stuffed packets. And we just saw this guy standing, and we grabbed the Oreos, and he drives back. And you know, I'm going to give you the story once we get there, but there's a mysterious Oreo guy that literally must have been up all night watching the tracker and met us, even though we were 3-4 hours behind schedule. So shout out to you. If you're hearing this right now, Oreo guy, please let me know who you are. I got to give you a proper thank you. Now, I want to shout out and thank you. Thanks to all the people who texted me words of encouragement throughout the day. They popped up on my head unit, which really meant a lot. And I got over 100, so I can't list all the names, but it made a huge difference. And I just want to thank you for that. I also want to thank everybody online watching the live tracker, commenting, messaging, showing support by engaging with the content. That also is huge. You know, I'm not doing this to like just get attention, although I'll be real with you, that this is part of it. Like, this is a huge way for me to stand out and put Dialed Health on the map and get attention on Dialed Health, which is my business. So in that way, it's very important. But again, it's not like I have to do this to like run a business. So I think there's other ways to do marketing. So there's part of it, and a big part of it, that is for me in this personal challenge and doing this route that almost doesn't seem possible within a day, at least from my perspective. And a lot of people I've talked to, especially locals who get the concept of riding to and from Tahoe in a day, it's so sick. So before we get into the ride profile and stats, the last thank yous are just to the sponsors. I want to thank Tanner and Jordan from Specialized, Walter from Garmin, Grace from Bear Performance Nutrition, Crystal from LEL, Jenna from Almost There, Andre from SC Icon, and all the boys at Kinetic Cycles for getting my bike prepped right before this ride. Now, I will have a bike overview video so you guys can, you know, a bike check video, excuse me, that's the proper term for it. We already filmed it. It's going to go live on YouTube. I'm going to show you exactly what I did to my Tarmac SL7 to make it ready for a day like this, and a day that's intended to be self-supported. Now, spoiler alert, I can't claim self-supported because of what happened at 11:30 p.m. That night. And I'm going to tell you what happened. And I truly don't think I could have completed if it wasn't for this type of assistance, which you're going to find out very soon. But I did roll out with the intention of doing it self-supported and carried a lot of extra stuff thanks to those bags I put on my bike and setting it up the way that I did. So let's get into the ride recap. Thanks for letting me give out this thank yous. They're definitely well-deserved. Before I get into the stats and the profile of the ride, I got to take a sip of water. All right. So this is your reminder. If you haven't had anything to drink today, take a couple gulps with me. That's what I'm talking about. You know, the water thing is funny. I've done this on the podcast a lot, and I actually love it because it sort of shows the emphasis on general health and well-being. And I'm telling you guys, the more rides I do like this, the more of a believer I am in my own product and just taking care of your body from a holistic, very, very base level, getting your baseline of health right, and then building your performance on top of that. It is the only reason I've been able to complete these. You guys, before I'm going to tell you, I mean, this ride was 326.1 miles, and I climbed 29,580 vertical feet. I had zero back pain the entire time. I did not even know I had a back. I didn't feel it. It wasn't there. And have I ever experienced back pain on the bike before? Yes. So bad I've had to stop riding and stretch and do all the things. But that was before I started doing the core work that I do now and the mobility as regularly as I do. So I'm just such a believer in it. You know, no cramps. Obviously, that has something to do with nutrition. I also have theories about foam rolling and stretching and cramping and all that. So anyways, I'm so stoked that I get to do something like this and have a product that could help get you there as well. Because one of the big goals with this ride is to encourage people to do something rad from their front door. Anyone can do something epic from home. And I know there's every person listening to this, you have a route or you have a ride that you've thought about doing and you just haven't done it yet because it's a little bit too big. It would take a little bit too much planning, or there's some other variable that's holding you back. But I really want to encourage you to consider doing it and to put it as a goal. And remember, this does not have to be 24 hours. If your biggest ride you've ever done is 5-6 hours, go push for 8. You know, if your biggest mileage you've ever done is 50, go push for 75. If you've done 100 or if you've done 150, just add 10%, make it a sick route and go get yourself a PR, push yourself a little bit. Because I'll tell you, this really changed my mind on what I think is possible in the future. And I'm not even thinking about what's next, but it's like I had to get this out of my head to move on. And this is the start moving forward mentality. You do the thing that you know is there, and then you let the results guide you to the next thing. That's how you make progress. So anyways, self-help rant over. Let's get into these ride stats and ride profiles. So as I mentioned, 326.1 miles, 29,580 vertical feet. This included a very chunky dirt section and also freeway. Legit couple miles on Highway 80. For anyone that's local, you know, it was crazy. I've driven that stretch so many times, and to think that one day I'd ride my bike on it is pretty crazy. So the elevation difference was huge. I live at 150 feet, so basically sea level. That's where my house is at. And we went over 8,000 feet multiple times, but the highest was 8,700 vertical feet. This was Carson Pass, and Mount Rose was pretty dang close. Now the average speed, 15.9 miles per hour. The moving time was 20 hours, 31 minutes. The elapsed time was 24 hours, 22 minutes. Now, disclaimer, that includes the pre and post media that we did. So I'm claiming 24 hours. We had to start my Garmin and start the live track and post all that stuff up well before I left. And we also rolled back into the driveway, took a few photos. So with all that considered, it's so close to 24 hours. I'm claiming it. This was a 24 hour elapsed time ride. All right. You guys can fight me over that one. I'm going to grab another sip of water here. Now, average cadence, 81 RPM. Average heart rate was pretty low, which we're going to talk about, 123. Max heart rate, 164. Average power, 162. Normalized power, 188. Kilojoules, 11,936. Calories burnt, 13,827. With a TSS score of 903. And to put it in perspective, for me, a hard training week would be like a 700 TSS and usually around 200 miles. So the fact that I did 326 and a 903 TSS in one day just shows you the big gap, like the chasm between what would be a hard training week for me and this one ride. And so the ride itself went from the Sacramento Valley up and around Lake Tahoe, plus a whole lot more. Like we went, I mean, this ride would have been a lot shorter and a lot less vert if we just rode to the lake, rode around the shoreline and rode back. We went pretty deep into Nevada and climbed a couple big mountains over there before coming back into California. Now we went up the north side. This is the 80 corridor and came back on the south side, which is the 50 corridor. And as I mentioned, there were, I think, 5 climbs that were over 2,000 vertical feet. There might have been another one, but these were the major points that stood out. It was Mount Rose, Geiger, Kingsbury, Luther, and Carson. And we'll use those as kind of our separators as we get into the story here. But now we can roll into the actual day of and talk about how this thing played out. So we rolled out in the dark, 409 zone two pace, cruising, left with my buddy Jacob and Jeff. And within 20 minutes, we already linked up with Travis, who I've never met before, actually, super rad guy. And we're just cruising in the dark. We're in the streetlights in the suburbs. It was pretty fun. Honestly, the weather was perfect. It's like in the 50s, just have a vest on. And I will throw out there, the long sleeve that I wore on this ride was so perfect. The way you can throw on and off layers and stay warm and stay cool, it was amazing. So a long sleeve kit in the fall time, like a jersey that's not thermal, is like, I think, the best piece of kit that you can have. And we are going to have our team store coming out pretty soon again, where you can get the winter version of our design. So a little bit of a plug there, but I would recommend just going to LEL, get yourself one of their Laguna Seca Performance long sleeves. You'll be so stoked on that. So anyways, we're on the local roads for the first couple hours before we hit dirt. And I don't want to breeze over this too much, but it's a long day. So I'll just say we rode in the dark. It was fun. Most of the roads were familiar except one section. And on that section, we had some deers run across the road in front of us, or some deer, not deers, deer. And a little too close for comfort, but that did not match Jacob hitting a dead raccoon in the road that he didn't see, almost going down. I thought he hit a water bottle, but get this. We're just breaking dawn. We had stopped for our first rest stop, and we're like 2 hours in. Now, the car is in front of us, and Zach is basically sitting in the truck bed filming us, and his feet are on the bike rack. It had like a camper shell, so the setup was kind of funny. He was like basically hanging off the back of this thing, and we're right behind him. So when the car splits something in the road, you know, the wheels go on the opposite sides of a bump, a crack, or a dead animal, you can't really see it till it's right in front of you. And dude, Jacob hit this raccoon, both wheels like pop off the ground. It was like he hit a little jump, barely hangs on to it. We're cruising like 35 miles an hour down this hill. And it was so gnarly. It was just one of those moments where you're like, oh yeah, you still have to focus. I know it's dark outside and the sun's just coming up and we're tired, but dude, there's stuff in the road. So we basically ride that road. And I guess a food update for you at this time, you know, we're about 2 hours in. The only thing I noticed was that I started eating whole foods sooner. This was intentional, but I started with 90 grams of carbohydrates in my first bottle. And the weather was cool, so I wasn't going through my bottle as quickly. I hit a caffeinated gel at the first hour, and then I hit a bar at just around hour two, which normally, you know, if I went for a 2-3 hour ride, I wouldn't bring whole foods really, unless I like kind of missed a meal or something like that. My stomach felt empty. So I just wanted to start eating more hearty foods just to feel as normal as I could for as long as I could. And also, we're not pushing the pace, or I intended on not pushing the pace. Spoiler alert, it was about to get hard. But I knew if I had took some whole food in earlier that I probably wouldn't mess up my stomach too much. So that was kind of the goal there. And I think it worked out really well. So I already had a bar. It was one of the Morton Solid 225 bars. And we're basically just going zone two until we hit this single lane chip and seal road that took us up to the actual dirt section. And this was so funny because we're even talking about our pacing and I'm like, yeah, I want to keep it in zone two. I just want to make sure I'm not, you know, in threshold unless I'm like standing or something like that. And we get to this section that was like 15 to 17%. And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot there's a couple steep sections. And I just have the stock gearing on my tarmac, which off the top of my head, I know the back is a 1033 and the front is a 4835, I think. But it was enough to where I had to stand and sit and grind and basically do threshold for like 5 minutes just getting up to this dirt. And I think we got a second place trophy getting up this road, me and Jacob. So we do that. And it's just one of those moments where you're like, all the pacing plans that you have just go out the window. You just got to get up the climb. So we get to the dirt, and the initial dirt section was kind of what we had hoped for. It was smooth for the most part. We're kind of in the pine needles. There's occasional rocks and some roots going across it. It's like some classic OHV stuff in NorCal. And then it got really rocky and it got gravelly and there's a lot of granite, and it got to the point where it was downright chunky. I think honestly, it would have been rough on a gravel bike with like some 42s. And on the road bike, it was super rough. And Tony slashed his tire, like a 2-inch gash in it. He has to get back, picked up by the car. Jacob goes down. I almost go down, end up slamming my nuts on my seat, barely hanging on to this thing. And it slowed us down a ton. Like, this was the first part of the day where I was like, oh, this is going to actually be a longer day than I expected, because this road is so much chunkier than we thought it would be. And it was beautiful. Don't get me wrong. Sun's still coming up. It's nice and cool. I've never been back here. I'm starting to see some views that I would normally see from the freeway because we're paralleling it. But we're in this canyon, and it's just so chunky and slow. And the first thought is like, just don't have a mechanical. Don't crack your beautiful Roval, you know, 60 mil rims. just get through this thing. And it was the point where I was really happy with my tire choice, because I put 32 tubeless Mondos on my tarmac. This is Specialized new tire, and it's 2 mils wider than the normal tire I run. I normally run like 30 mils, which I really like, but the bigger volume allows me to run less pressure, which is more comfortable. And the Mondos in particular has a robust sidewall. So it's kind of like an all-terrain tire. And I could tell, honestly, it felt almost like a mountain bike tire, in the sense that the sidewalls don't really feel squishy. Like, they're very, very firm. So gave me a lot of confidence getting through there. And thankfully we got through just fine. And when we popped back out onto a glassy highway, we were met by Alex from Nevada City. And we ended up doing a pretty big climb up to the freeway. And we got stopped once for like 10 minutes with construction, which was a little bit frustrating, but I almost needed it, because that was the first time that my blood sugar kind of dipped. And I realized by that point, we had already been riding like close to 4 hours. And in the morning, I think time is very deceptive. You can be out for longer and you kind of forget to eat, especially when it's cool. You're in terrain you're not familiar with. You're like very focused on the route. I just noticed I got behind on calories, and we were coming into elevation at that same time. Like, I want to say we were about 5,000 feet at that point. And so I'm sitting at this traffic stop for construction, and I'm like, oh man, like, I need calories right now. So I smash a gel. I smash another bar right away. And it was funny, because Jacob looks at me, he's like, dang, doubling up. And I was like, yeah, dude, I feel like I'm dipping right now. And I can't tell if it's the elevation or like a little bit of a bonk, but I actually feel like I mistimed my nutrition. It just didn't take in as much as I should have during that rough gravel section. And we're already 4 hours in. So it was a weird combo of things, but basically we get through the traffic stop. I ride up, I'm starting to feel a little bit better. And then we have this downhill kind of slight grade. It's like almost like an average 1% grade on the freeway to our first stopping point, where we're going to transition some riders. And I'm going to tell you, we rolled on that freeway. It was so sick. I had talked to some people about this because everyone was telling me it was illegal. Shout out to Rich Hufford, Dialed Fam member. I used to train him in person, just an awesome local rider who's super experienced. And he also works for a construction company that builds roads. And so he was very clear about the guidelines for getting on and off freeways, what's legal, what's isn't. This was legal. And so we rolled on with confidence knowing that. And I will say, he mentioned that there can be big gaps in the freeway where you end up kind of hitting these bumps along the way, and it's like ga-gunk, 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 and pretty soon you want to get off of it. I don't know why the freeway conditions were so good, but not only was the shoulder clean, like, I didn't see glass, like, I didn't see almost anything in this shoulder. It was so smooth. I don't know what the deal was. Maybe I was just in a really positive mindset, but we cruise on that freeway. We're just doing like high 20s, pace lining. We got freaking semis going by us. Thankfully, a lot of them switched over lanes, and it was just super fun. It was just one of those moments. I mean, you could tell me how stupid I am or whatever, and I know, but it's not like I'm going to do that all the time. I don't aim for it. It was a very unique moment. It was one of those parts of the ride where I'm like, there's only a few times in my life I'm probably going to do something like this, so we're going to soak it in. And we did. It was so fun. So we basically take the freeway to this exit called Cisco Grove, and that was the first stop where Jacob was jumping off. His dad was going to come and pick him up, and I had my buddy Dylan jump on, and we're doing this back road I've always seen from the freeway, but never have taken. And this is like, as you're getting into Tahoe, it's beautiful. There's granite, there's lakes, there's canyons, like all the mountain things that you'd want to see. And there's this back road that just kind of snakes by the freeway. And it just climbs you all the way up to Donner Summit, which is where you start descending into Donner Lake and actually Truckee. And so we take this back road up. Again, always wanted to ride it. Loved it. We get to the top of Donner Pass. And on Donner Pass, dude, you just drop one of the most scenic roads that you could ride, period. It is such an amazing ride. And it was cool because my buddy Harrison Beal, shout out to him, just did this ride. It was actually more than a double Everest. It was from the bottom, basically it was like 66,000 feet, which is the bottom of the Mariana Trench, Earth's lowest point, to the top of Everest, Earth's highest point, in one ride. It was like 380 miles, took him like 30 something hours. It was so gnarly. He raised 20 grand for mental health. It was super sick. And I was thinking of him, and that was actually a lot of motivation as I got to that point, because I have ridden that descent multiple times, that climb. And what's funny is, like, it's a solid climb. You know, I don't know what the vert is on it. It's probably, it's got to be a good 600 feet vert or something like that, but it's legitimate and it's beautiful, but I've never ridden there from home. So I had this thought, I was like, man, Harrison was just on this for 30 hours, just suffering, raising money, doing something rad. I just rode here from home. Like, I never honestly thought I would do that. The fact that I was on this and I had started from my driveway was bonkers, because that's that perspective. I'm like, oh, it normally takes me over an hour to drive here on the freeway. And so it was just, the ride was starting to get put in perspective, and that's how it felt actually all the way past North Star. So if you're in our local area, you would drive from Truckee, you'd hop on this Highway 267, and you would go by North Star, which is like the very popular resort for downhilling in the summer. It's where I grew up riding. I have a lot of injuries and concussions that I've experienced on that mountain. A lot of good memories too. And I just spent so much time there. Like, it truly is, you know, if you were to have a quote unquote happy place, I would say that's probably it for me. I actually have North Star tattooed, the view from 267, on the inside of my bicep. If you guys ever wondered what those mountains are, that's North Star. And that's how much it means to me. So we're riding through this valley. We climb over Brockway Summit. And again, this is one of those climbs where if you were to do, let's say you were going to do, there's all these loops from North Star you can do, but if you're going to just ride from North Star, that would be like probably the biggest climb of the day. Maybe one of them. Like, it's, again, on normal rides, this would have been the big climb of the day. But on this ride, it just wasn't. It was like just another blip in the road to get to our next point. And so there's just all this perspective that's hitting me as we're doing this. I'm like, dude, there's North Star. Oh my gosh, I rode from home. This is like a big climb, but it's not even close to the upcoming five climbs that we have. And so we get over the top of this thing. We see Lake Tahoe. We descend down to it. And this is where we did our first car transition. As I mentioned earlier, we had three drivers, and we just met up at the Safeway right by Kings Beach, which is the North Lake shore of Lake Tahoe. And this is where Jonathan Lee met up with us. We also had Dylan, who came out from Salt Lake City, his friend Kent, that came out with us, and got to meet Jonathan Lee's dad, Greg. I'm still with Dylan. He's passing off. So it's like the shuffle of people's happening. Todd Beasley shows up, our new driver, and we're just making sure we're situated to actually get toward the big climbing, because this meant that the first third of the ride was over. And I don't want to say the hard part was just beginning, but it was like we had some of the technical stuff out of the way, but I just knew the big climbs were coming. We had this huge portion through Nevada, which was phase two before we got to phase three. And it was just at least nice to get to that point and feel like I was making legitimate progress. And so basically we start heading out to Mount Rose, and this is where I started feeling really crappy. Now, let me take a sip of water so I can tell this properly. Why don't you drink with me? So we're going up toward Mount Rose, and whoop, I got a little snot here. Hang, excuse me. Oh, that was probably joyful for you guys to hear, but I think we're going to leave it in. Anyways, we are, we're riding on the North Shore of Lake Tahoe. It's beautiful. You get to this roundabout where you can actually stay on the shore and start going around the east side of the lake, or you can go up and over Mount Rose, which is like a, what is it? 2,400 foot climb or something like that. 2,500 feet or something. And it's a very, very mellow gradient. It's like an average of 4%. And I'm making this up off the top of my head. It's got to be close, but it's just long. The craziest thing was we sit into this climb and we have more riders link up with us. Shout out to Bryce, Dialed Fam, Trainer Road, former employee, just awesome dude. We have people meeting up with us, which is cool, but we're climbing and we're climbing and we're climbing. And then you climb past a sign that says you're over 8,000 feet, knowing you came from the lake, which is like, I don't know, 50 something hundred feet or 5,000 something hundred feet. And so we're climbing, climbing, climbing. It's getting colder. It's getting colder. And there was a point where Jonathan Lee is pacing and he knew exactly what power he needed to do for me to be on pace. And there was this one comment I made, which I really regret. But basically, I felt like at that speed, our gears weren't lining up because I felt a little spun out or like I was grinding a little bit. And so he's like, how's the power? Because I was dipping off a little bit. And I said, the gearing is off. Like our gearing is off. And he's like, well, power, we'll fix that. And I just was like, dude, shut up. You're so right. It was like, I just realized at that point I was getting fatigued because holding a lower cadence was getting harder. And then it was like, I just didn't have good control of my pedal stroke. And it became very apparent at that point. So thanks for that, Jonathan Lee. But I do regret saying that our gears don't line up. It was pretty funny. We get to the top. It's freaking freezing. That descent is huge. It's like a 15-mile descent. And it's normally really cool unless you're cracked because I was getting a little bit of a knot in my neck. I just felt tired and I just got uncomfortable. I think this is the first part of the day where I just felt uncomfortable. Anyone who's done a long ride knows what that feeling is where you're just like, oh, like I just want to get off my bike right now. This was that first moment. So I threw my jacket on at the top. We started bombing down. I'm still freezing on the descent and I'm just riding horrible. You know, I'm not aggressive. My braking's a little weird. We had some wind gust. I just felt like I was stuck in one position, just kind of like suffering as I coasted down this highway. And it's funny because at that time, we're gaining a ton of mileage quickly and effortlessly, but I'm just still so uncomfortable, which was kind of annoying because I'm like, this should be the easy part, you know? And thankfully I got some motivation as we are getting back down into the valley, I guess, of Nevada, which is at elevation. It's like Reno elevation, but we just did this huge descent. We're toward the bottom. And then I see Allie standing on the side of the road with this sign that says, go Derek, zoom like Froome. And it was totally unexpected and absolutely turned me around. Like from that point, I was like, okay, you know, stop feeling bad for yourself. People are out here supporting you. This is what you should be doing right now. And so that really meant a lot. And I knew that at the gas station at the bottom of the hill, I'd be able to get like a first real normal meal of the day. And so it felt like it turned me around. And once we got to that gas stop, Allie showed up. We had Fred Stam, who is a buddy from like downhill racing back in the day. Super cool to see him. We go to Mavericks gas station. And at Mavericks, I was able to do some work. I think I put down like a $35 bill at this gas station. And basically, I got a turkey sandwich. I got like 10 packets of mustard. I was like drinking. You guys know I love mustard. I'm telling you, mustard on a day like that, when you hit that vinegar, oh, it is just such a nice contrast from all the sweet stuff that you're eating. I got some chips with it and I just wanted to get kind of full. And it was weird because I knew I had the Geiger climb coming up. This was another climb over 2,000 feet. And I knew it was going to be warmer, which I was looking forward to warming up. But it's like, when do you want to go eat a sandwich before you jump on a 2,000 plus vert climb? Like you don't. But also, when else are you going to eat? There's climbing all day in this thing. So I just made the decision to eat normal food. I ate a good amount of those chips. I had a Coke with it. And I had that sandwich. I bought gummy bears. I brought this little deep tissue massage tool called a So Right Mini. And this was one of the best things that I brought. I just put it in my frame bag and I used this little like claw looking thing to dig out that knot I was talking about between my shoulder blade and my neck. It was kind of my upper trap. Funny enough, I still have that knot a little bit. I can feel it. It feels better after my strength workout I did this week, but it's still kind of there. And it was just this one spot, but I just dug into that sucker. I ate, I made sure I was topped off on liquids. I reapplied sunscreen and chapstick. Again, these are just all things. Oh, I took a Tums because I was already getting a little acid reflux. And then I also took ibuprofen. I think I took three, so like 600 milligrams. And these are all the things that on a big day make a huge difference in your overall perceived effort and just staying comfortable. And if you're like, oh, that sounds overkill. Well, at this point, you guys, I had already climbed like, I don't know, it was like 16,000 feet and ridden 140 miles, I think, at this point. So you tell me if it's like over the top. I don't think so. I mean, I was doing it. And I was like, this is really smart. Like I can tell I've had some experience with these bigger rides because I didn't know that this was such a necessary thing. The first couple, you know, ones that I did. And it was cool because once we rolled out on Geiger, my body felt a lot better. Like I felt like I had more strength, but I was burping that freaking sandwich up all the way up Geiger climb. And it's beautiful climb. We got some really good photos and we're going up it. You can see the view. It's warm. Thank God I wasn't like cold, but I was just burping this stuff up the whole way. And I had Coca-Cola in my bottle, which was actually settling my stomach a little bit as I was getting in some more calories, which I liked, but it was just one of those things. I was like, you know what? I don't think there's any way of getting around some of this burpiness. Like if I did a ride that was 10 hours, I could avoid a big meal. The thing is, once you click over that like 10 hours, and I know this from the training rides that I did. I did a couple 9-hour training rides leading up to this. And I remember thinking, I was like, if I was out for any longer, I would need real food. Just, I don't know what else to say. Because I did all those other bars on normal cycling food. Or I'd said bars. I did all the, wow. Maybe I should take a sip of water. Hold on one second. I'm losing it, guys. You're losing me. I'm slipping out. The brain fog is coming back. So on those rides, I just ate normal ride food, carb mix, gels, bars, and that's pretty much it. I think some gas station Coca-Cola and some Red Bull. Like that's pretty much it. I think on one of them, I had Pringles, which is definitely top choice at a gas station with a Coke. But that's it. I didn't have, like, I need like a turkey sandwich, to be honest. I think that's one of the best things. I've kind of sworn by the turkey wraps, but those are all really, really perfect things for me. Even though I claimed I was going to get a burger, don't worry. I ended up at a Denny's later that night, but we're going to get there. So that just felt like a good thing to do, but you know, you're burping it up. That's the inevitable. Now, so that's kind of the nutrition update for you guys. What I do want to mention on this Geiger climb is that we were doing what happened to be the scenic motorcycle route from Reno to Virginia City, where Street Vibrations, like the Harley convention, was happening. And so we have dudes full gas in it past us on their Harleys all the way up this climb. Like it was super loud, super busy. And by the time we rolled into Virginia City, which is, it looks like it's straight out of the 1800s. I think it literally is. It was like a gold mining town and they've almost restored it and left it like its original, like how it was originally. So it's got saloons, everything looks like the Wild West and it's a pretty long strip. I mean, it's got to be at least half a mile, maybe a mile long. And there's, I kid you not, it's a full party. There are street bikes lined up on each side of the road and they're parked side by side and it's the entire stretch. And there's all these dudes, these women like leathered up heckling us like you would not believe. I've never been heckled like that outside of a race. Like I felt like I was at a crazy cyclocross race or like a local downhill race where people are all like drinking and spraying or like TDS. You go to the Dirty Sanchez Enduro, people are literally spraying beer in your face as you're going down rock gardens and stuff. Like that's the level of heckling that we received as we rode through this. And they were saying all sorts of stuff. I'm not going to get into it. You know, I try and keep this show PG, but it was hilarious. Like I thought it was honestly one of the funniest things that happened throughout the entire day. And I loved every second of it. So I want to thank all those Harley dudes, including my barber, Rogan, who was there. And I know because he told me he was going and I was like, dude, I'm going to pass you. So for all I know, Rogan, you were heckling me and I love it, dude. We talked about this beforehand. It's amazing. It was so funny. Anyways, we got through that party. We made it out alive. And I can't help but thinking, you know, those guys had to see me in my like ice blue dialed health Liker kit with my like chromed out glasses and my white shoes. Oh, it's so funny. I just love that kind of stuff. Anyways, I just love dudes being over the top men and not pretending like, you know, they can't be like a little metro from time to time. You know, I don't know what it is. I love that energy. I love that alpha energy. So anyways, we make it through there. We end up at this gas station called Terrible's, and the team kind of splits up. This is where I had a double decker Krispy Kreme donut stack with cold brew, which was unexpected, but I'll tell you, this was one of those things where I saw the donuts and it's like all I ever wanted in life were these two donuts. Were the donuts, and I decided to get two, and I stacked them on top of each other just to glaze Krispy Kreme. And I had to get some cold brew in, which was perfect. Some caffeine, different flavor, not sweet. Nice pairing with those donuts. That was delicious. This is also where Brent, Dowd fan member, showed up to say hi, which was, you know, pretty big on the morale boost. And our team kind of split. Me and Jonathan Lee were the only ones carrying on this route. Everyone else was doing a separate climb back over into Lake Tahoe before the night hit. They didn't have lights. So it was getting to that point where we're like, all right, you know, if you're going to do the big route and you're going to loop it all the way back to North Lake, you're probably going to need lights. So we just kept on with our plan, which was to climb Kingsbury. Now, what was really cool about this section was that Jonathan Lee actually paced me through his hometown. And we had like that golden hour light. You know, it wasn't quite sunset, but we had the mountains. The sun was starting to go behind, and it was beautiful. It's this place called Genoa, and it's right, I guess it's just south of Carson City. And, you know, Jonathan Lee's kind of telling me about growing up here, yada, yada. We passed his dad, who was cheering us on the side of the road. In fact, he was playing Jimi Hendrix out of his car, which was pretty sick. And so I'm just following Jonathan Lee, who really is a specimen on a bike. He has got an incredibly smooth pedal stroke. And I think there's something about watching cyclists who are smooth and have a nice cadence on the bike. You know, when you just watch them, it's like relaxing. Like there's this, I don't know if it's this like perfectly timed, rhythmic, I don't know what it is. It's kind of like a hypnotizing or something, or I don't know the right word to describe it. Basically, I'm just in this perfect lighting in this mountain valley, looking up at the mountains, the sunset. I got Jonathan Lee on this beautiful bike with this awesome riding form, just pacing. We have perfect weather. There is no wind. I'm in his draft going downhill. So I'm just loving life. I mean, it was, I would say, the second best moment of this entire ride. So really huge shout out to Jonathan Lee. That was a moment. And if you want to, so that was a moment for me that was really memorable, just visual. Like, you guys know when you're on a ride and you're probably thinking about it right now, you have those time stamped visions, like those photos in your head of that moment that was really good on the bike. This is absolutely one of those moments. And if you want to ask Jonathan Lee about the moment he had from eating a little bit too much sodium, right before we got into the Kingsbury climb, you should ask him about that. You should ask him about our unplanned pit stop, but we'll just leave it there. And I'm going to grab a sip of water. That was a little hint for you. So we get to the bottom of Kingsbury and we start climbing. This is the biggest climb, I think, of the entire route. 2,700 feet. It's like 8 miles and average grade. Oh, I'm slipping off the top of my head. Maybe 6%. It started more gradual and ended at like 9-10%, which of course is always, it's like always how it happens. It always ends with the steepest part of the climb. And fortunately for me, I felt really good on this climb. You know, before the, you know, earlier in the day, I was telling you I had to back off my pacing. And on this climb, I just felt like I wanted to go harder. And I was really motivated to get up and over this climb to get it back into South Lake Tahoe, because I knew this was going to be stop number three and where I met my dad, actually. And he was going to be the driver at that point. So I wanted to freaking smash this climb. And I'm going to tell you, of all the scenic areas, this was the climb of the photo I posted on my Instagram about the day. And you look at it and you're like, dude, this looks like, I don't know, this just looks like a climb you'd see in Europe somewhere. It's beautiful. There's granite slabs. You can look all the way down into the valley from almost every part of this climb. So even when you're, 2000 feet up, you can look over your shoulder and see 2000 feet down of the valley you just came from, which was Genoa. And it was rad. I love this climb. I would love to go back and do it when I'm not 200 miles in or something like that. You know what I mean? So and actually enjoyed a little bit. So we had a really good climb, a little bit of talking and more so just that energy. You're just pacing with somebody. You don't need to talk. You know what each other's thinking. You're just there. It was cool. It was just cool. Passed Jonathan Lean's dad again. Again, he's blasting Jimi Hendrix, getting the vibes up. I went hard over the top. We took a couple pictures on the summit and descended down into South Lake Tahoe. And it was a fun little descent. Actually felt pretty good. And I knew we were going to go to the bike shop that Tony, who had built the route, he had stayed in the cars, by the way. So he was with us the entire time and kind of jumping on and off. He fixed his tire, jumped back in, jumped off. And his bike shop that he works at is in South Lake Tahoe. And I was like, you know what? Let's go by. I'm going to get my chain lubed and I'm going to grab a thermal cap and some little baggies to put over my feet inside my shoe to keep my feet warm. Cause it could already get cold. It was already getting cold. So we go in, do this pit stop at the bike shop. I grab a couple things. It was nice and quick. I changed my glasses lenses, threw my clear lenses back on. And that's when Jonathan Lee left. And I was just going to ride over to the Denny's just a couple miles down the road as we rode back into California through State Line, which is South Lake Tahoe. This is where Heavenly Ski Resort is. It's where all the gambling is. It's where all the restaurants are. Super fun part of town. I'm going to tell you, I really wanted to stop when I passed this barbecue spot that I've gone to before. It's great barbecue. I just love barbecue. That's becoming like one of my favorite foods. I'd say next to sushi, like good barbecue is probably my second favorite. And I rode by and I thought about that mac and cheese. I thought about those ribs and the brisket and the cornbread. And we just rode by and I was like, man, I would love to stop right here. And you guys, I'm 200 miles in. I'm 23K of climbing in, I think. And I'm just like, I can't. I just can't. Like, this is torture riding by this place right now. If I stopped right now, this would be a fun day, but now it's not fun anymore. You know what I mean? And so I rode past and I will say, I was just with Tony here going to that Denny's where my dad was at. And this was a planned stop that we had. But before I got there, I just want to tell you guys, I parted ways with Jonathan Lee and he gave me this hug that was, I know it sounds like I'm totally like man crushing on Jonathan Lee right now. Maybe I am, but dude, he gave me this hug that was like he was sending me off to battle. And it's funny because I didn't really realize it until after the fact. But I think he knew I didn't know what I had in store for me. And I think that it was clear that I didn't know what I was about to go through because we were going into the night. And as I said, it got to a point where I needed some assistance and it got so gnarly for a second that looking back, I think he knew it was coming. And I think he knew that I was going to be still riding till, 4 in the morning. So he just gave me that hug that was like sending me off into battle, and it was pretty funny. So anyways, we'll put that one to rest. Jonathan, thanks for coming out, dude. That was awesome. I get to Denny's. My dad's sitting at a booth. And you guys are going to say, oh, you can't have outside assistance. Guess what? I pre-ordered this Denny's the day before. You can get online and place an order. This is a fun fact for you guys. You can place an order like 5 days out at a Denny's and pick the time. And I was 3 hours late, but my order was there. They remade it for me, which was super, super cool. But I placed that order the day before. So at this point, we're still on track for our self-supported. I use the bike shop, all that stuff. So I get to the Denny's. My dad's at the booth. I down this. I just got a classic. It was eggs, two eggs over medium, hash browns, two pieces of bacon. I ate those in like a minute. all of it. I stirred it together like good Mexican food and I freaking downed it and it was amazing. I almost said fabulous, but then I was like, whoa, dude, you were just man crushing. So let's reel it in right now with the Metro vibe. So it was fabulous. I'm gonna take this back. It was a hearty, manly meal, okay? And I really enjoyed it. And then I had, actually, gosh dang it, you know what? I didn't have normal pancakes. I had pumpkin pecan pancakes. I'm telling you, dude, you can't do anything about the Metro vibes. It's just in there, okay? I like a good scented candle, all right? I hope that this gnarly ride balances it out for you guys and you can still respect me, all right? But I did have pumpkin pecan pancakes slathered in butter, a lot of maple syrup. And the coolest part about this portion of the ride was, as I mentioned, this was our third transition, which was the last, I guess, leg of the ride. Now, it's crazy to think about. We had over 100 miles left. But my dad was there taking over the driving duties for Todd. Zach was jumping in his car for the footage. My buddy David Kirsten showed up. His dad drove him to South Lake and dropped him off there and drove all the way home. And that's why I have to thank the drivers, because David was able to do this ride because his dad was willing to get him up here and he didn't have to, you know, worry about the car situation. So it made such a big difference, because I was going into the portion of the ride that I was least familiar with, that was without a doubt the most secluded. And this was the only point I think we lost service. Maybe we had lost it on the gravel road earlier in the day, but we lost service for like 2 hours on the live track, because it's just a very remote part of, you know, if you're driving through it, it doesn't like feel that remote because it's quick and stuff. But when you're out there with no lights and it's pitch black and you've never been on Luther Pass before climbing, like you can't see anything. You're just on this climb and you know you're out there and it's getting so cold, because we left at 8 p.m. from that Denny's and it was just me and my buddy David. And I was starting to get tired, so I threw in some music. I had this really good trap. It's called Trap Mojito. It's like a house music, awesome playlist on Spotify. Probably one of my favorites for like riding or just zoning out. I turn it on when I work out a lot. And so I have the music on because I'm getting sleepy, like just straight up sleepy. And we're starting to climb. We go up Luther Pass, and it's just getting colder and colder and colder. And at this point, I have a jacket. I have my long sleeve kit. So just normal jersey vest, normal jersey. Wow. I need another sip of water. One sec, guys. So I have my long sleeve jersey. I have a jacket and I put my vest over my jacket. And so this is like windbreaker, no thermal or anything like that. But usually like that would be hot, you know, like if I wore that in like 50 degrees down in the valley, I'd be burning up. And so I had a thermal cap on under my helmet. I had knee warmers and I had plastic bags over my socks inside my shoes. So those were the layers I had. And I'm climbing up this thing and I'm just getting cold, like really cold. And we start descending and there was the sweat from the climb. And I literally was descending and it got so cold and I was shivering so much that my bars started shaking and rattling to the point that I actually was worried I was going to crash. And so I just hollered at David in front of me and I just slowly hit my brakes and just pulled to the side of the road on the middle of a downhill. And of course, my dad was behind us in the truck now and he's like, what's up, dude? Like, you're just stopping on the middle of a straight descent, because I should just be cruising, recovering. But I was so cold, I literally could not control my body. And I think I waited too long. Like, I let myself get too cold. But the thing was, those were the layers I had. And this is when I had committed to doing this ride self-supported, but I just got to a point where I was like, dude, it's so cold. Like, why am I so cold? And then I look at my dad's temperature gauge and it says 37 degrees and it's pitch black and I'm sweaty and I'm already so fatigued. It's hard to get my heart rate up. And I was like, oh my, like I effed up. Like I literally effed up, because I should have a puffy jacket on right now, you know? And so I had brought a bag with like some emergency supplies. Like, I brought spare tires, like Tony was able to put one on, and I brought some like clothes to change out. And I don't know, just in case. And I had a sweatshirt in there. And I was like looking at my dad in his nice puffy jacket and his heated vehicle, telling me about how he had to turn down the heater because he was getting a little sweaty. And so thanks for that, Dad, by the way. And I'm looking at him and I was like, I need that jacket. Like I literally can't get back on my bike and continue bombing this hill when I'm shaking like this. And so I just basically at that point just was like, you know what? If I did not have this help right now, I don't know if I would finish this ride, to just to be 100% honest. And in fact, I don't know what I would do, because the descent getting back into town would have been so difficult. I probably would have had to just done that. And like maybe stopped every time I was uncontrollably shivering and shaking the bars. But I was committed to getting this ride done first. And I just looked at my dad and I said, I was like, I need your jacket. And it's funny too, because like on a bike ride, you're kind of wearing size down kit. Like you want everything tight. Dude, this was like a size, I wear like smalls and mediums. So I'm rocking a size large puffy jacket over. No, actually at this point I just had the puffy jacket. I put the puffy jacket on, get back on my bike, continue the descent. We go from there to the climb of Carson Pass, which was monster. I should have looked a little further, but it's hard when you're on a route this big to do recon to the point where you are that familiar with it, you know? Cause I was like, oh, again, another big climb, but dude, this climb felt huge. And thankfully though, I was warm. I couldn't really go hard. And we get to the top of this climb and, you know, I look at the sign and it says 8,700 feet. It's like 11 PM now. And we get to the top and literally my dad is in his car with the heater on. And I just like walk into the car and get in the heater. I was so freaking cold. And that's at the top. And I did that after looking at the descent we're about to go do. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to ride down this descent. I'm so freaking cold. So I took his puffy jacket off. I took my sweatshirt on that was in my bag, put it on over my jacket, over my vest. And I put my hood on over my thermal cap and like tied the hood and then put my helmet on top of that and then put the jacket on top. Plus I was like looking through my bag for some pants because I thought I had brought pants and I had like joggers. I was going to put joggers on over all my riding kit because I was like, I just need something more over my legs, but I didn't have it and I was so bummed. I was like, why didn't you put some freaking sweatpants in here, dude? You know? And so I have 5 layers on and I'm freezing cold still. I'm in this, I'm in the car trying to warm up. And thankfully my dad was like, hey, he's like, do this descent. He's like, once we get to Mormon Immigrant, which was basically us getting off of the highway, like us getting close enough to home where we're back off these big mountain passes and we're getting lower in elevation. He's like, get there and I'll have some coffee waiting for you. He's like, I brought a jet boil. You're going to have hot coffee. And I was like, all right. So that almost became my motivation at that point. And by the way, I was still eating. I want to just give you a little update. I had the Denny's, which was huge for just filling up, feeling better. I was still burping it up a little bit, not as bad as that sandwich, but I was still taking in occasional gels. I had some caffeinated gels, but I did notice, I mean, my caffeine levels at this point were, if I had to guess, I don't know, 1500 milligrams for the day, probably 1200 to be conservative. You know, the gels I brought, the Sturka gels, had 150 in each one. And I was like on my 4th or 5th one, plus the coffee, plus the Red Bull, plus the Coke, you know what I mean? So it was adding up and I had the craziest acid reflex, like painful, like burning my throat acid reflex. So I popped some more Tums, which put that at bay, thankfully. And I just got back on my bike and I thought about that hot coffee and getting to Mormon Immigrant and the fact that the last big 2,000-foot climb was done, which was Carson. And so I'm like, okay, let's get to this new spot. The only other problem was, and part of the reason my dad offered me coffee was because I was very sleepy. Now I normally go to bed at like 10 PM and it was now 11:30. And I'd been up at 3 AM that day. Obviously I'm riding all day. I just wanted to sleep. And this was without a doubt the most dangerous part of the ride because I was still a little bit cold. We had this long descent down to Mormon Immigrant. We had one more freaking climb that I didn't even know was there. And it was like 1,000 feet vert coming out of Silver Lake. Dude, that was so much harder than I thought it would be. I was like actually singing a worship song where it's like, you make mountains move, you make giants fall. And I was like, get this mountain out of my life right now. So basically, we are descending before this last climb, and this is actually where I got so sleepy. I was like shaking my head a little bit to try and stay awake. Like, you know when you're driving and you get tired and you have to just kind of quickly shake your head or nod or slap yourself a little bit or stick your head out the window and get some cold air on your face? I was like doing all of those things, and I'm like, dude, this is what I would do if I'm driving. Not to say it's any safer, but I'm on a bike on a descent doing 40 miles an hour, and I've never ridden it before. I'm in the dark. I'm sleepy. Like, this is getting sketch. Like, this is getting actually sketchy. And come to find out, my dad was actually super worried about it after that because he could tell I was just like off. And so this is where I had my first ultra endurance hallucination happen, which is kind of like a badge of honor, but, you know, obviously not something to really brag about. So I'll tell you, you know, I did the double Everest. I've done a couple other 20-ish hour rides. I've never had the hallucination happen. You know, everyone knows what it's like to see something when you're on a mountain bike ride. You see a stump and it looks like a bear and you kind of look over and you're like, oh, it's just a stump. Like, stuff like that happens all the time. This was not that. Basically, I'm going down this descent. I already know I'm so sleepy. I'm forcing myself to stay awake and I'm looking ahead, and all of a sudden, I see these trail runners running across the highway. There was three of them, and they had blue headlamps on. And I'm like, why do they have blue headlamps on? And I see them like running across the road. And in my head, I'm like, they should really get some brighter lights. And as I say that, it was like everything came back into focus. And I realized those blue headlamps were actually tape on the snowpack poles on the side of the freeway. And they were blue, which is super weird. I don't know if I've ever seen blue ones. It's like, seriously. And so the way the road was curving, because I was riding on a kind of a turn and it was like a S turn in front of me, as I moved, it looked like those headlights or just the poles were going across the road. If you can kind of visualize that. And I was just convinced that I saw the legs of these trail runners just like running across the road. And I had this whole story in my head, and then I snapped out of it. And that's literally when I was like, oh my gosh, like I got to get to this next stop because my brain is like getting out of sorts. And so I told the guys about it when I was riding, and I just was like, okay, let's just like get, like, we just got to get there. We get to the point where we get to Mormon Immigrant Road and I get the coffee. I'm a little spooked out, honestly, because now it's like midnight. And we have the coffee. I'm warming up. I take in actually quite a bit more food at that time. I smashed like a bar. I had one of those new gels from Morton, which was like the 40 gram carb gels. Those are great. Smashed one of those. I'm just like, oh, I'm eating Rice Krispie treats with the coffee, which is an excellent combo. And I'm just sitting in there and I'm like, okay, we're about to drop into warmer temps. I think I can shed a jacket. We're getting back into what's actually familiar territory for me. And it's very full circle because I used to mountain bike every weekend and build all these trails in Sly Park, which is this, it's by Jenkinson Lake, which is like, in the mountains above where I live. And to get out here though, was like a full day. It's like an hour and a half drive for me. So I'm getting back into the zone, and it was just kind of a cool thing where I'm like, wow, I'm actually getting back into a place I'm familiar with, like somewhat of a local area. And we had to descend this road, Mormon Immigrant, which is on a ridgeline. And I kid you not, this was like the longest descent I maybe have ever done. Maybe. I don't know. I'd have to think about it. I mean, I'd have to look at the stats, but we basically had our lights on our bikes. We're on this back road on this ridgeline. It's pitch black. We just have this little tunnel of light. It's me, David, and Tony bombing. And we're just coasting for like half an hour down this thing, with the exception of a couple little rollers. I have house music just blasting in my ears. And I'm going to tell you, this was again one of those moments where I was like, okay, I'm literally midnight bombing this road in the mountains, have this music, the lights. It was just like a trip. You know, I've never done drugs, thank God, but I could imagine that they'd be a lot like this. Like the feeling I had at that time, I felt like I was on drugs and like in another world. It was really crazy. Kind of like how my kids sound right now in the kitchen. Sorry if you hear them screaming. I'm gonna grab another sip of water. So we get down to the lake. We have one climb up. Again, this was one of those climbs you'd say this is a big climb, but it was like 1,000 feet. We climb up and it was funny because I passed a buddy's house that I reached out to and I was like, hey, I'm going to be passing your house by like 9 p.m. Like get on your driveway and wave. Well, it's 1 in the morning. And so I'm literally like, dude, we're so behind schedule because I told this guy I was going to be by his house at like 9 or 10 p.m. and it's 1. And so whatever, I got that out of my head. It was the realization, but we had our very last planned stop, which was at the top of that hill. And from there, it was very much primarily downhill back to the valley. And so we stop, we go to this Safeway that's 24 hours. I literally walk in and I didn't even think about it. I just was like, where's the fried chicken? I was like, I want fried chicken so bad right now. They didn't have anything heated up, which was unfortunate. I got another turkey sandwich and I got my spare thing of mustard. I got some Maui onion chips. And I'm going to tell you, it was funny walking through there. We all got our grocery haul and it's like it's almost 2 a.m. at that point. And I remember because Tony played 2 a.m. by the band Slightly Stupid. And dude, the guys working at the Safeway are so stoned and they like see us. They're looking at us like we're aliens. And Tony tells the guy like what I did today. And the guy looks at me like I'm from another planet. And he was so high. I don't know if he probably doesn't even think it was real, like waking up the next day. I'm like, this stoned dude working at the grocery store thinks I'm an absolute psychopath. It's so funny. So we eat our food, we get on the bikes, and it's hilarious because at this point, we were like high-fiving each other. We're like, dude, we're almost home. But you guys, I'm like, we're like 70 miles away. I kid you not, 60 miles away. Like this was not that close, but I had like 1,000 or 1,500 more feet of climbing. That was it. Lot of descending. It was warmer temps. Like seriously, thank God. I still had my sweatshirt on and I kept pulling the hood over my helmet. But we were basically descending back toward this area that we know. And I'm going to tell you the best part of the entire ride happened right after that. We go through this place called Apple Hill. And I know if you're local, you're probably rolling your eyes right now because you're like, oh, freaking Apple Hill, dude. Like this is where all the white girls go with their flannels and their Ugg boots to get their pumpkin spice latte, which, you know, again, at this point sounds like me. But this is where you go. These are all the pumpkin patches, the orchards. It's like fall to the max. Take your family. It's an absolute zoo on the weekends this time of year, September, October, November. So everyone around where I live knows about Apple Hill. And it's packed. But you know what's crazy? We get to the top of Apple Hill, High Hill Ranch, which is like the most popular stop. And I've only driven through there in like bumper to bumper traffic. Dude, there's not one car on the road. So Tony and David, we all kind of like look at each other. We're like, this is crazy. There's no one here. And then we realize we're on this screaming descent that had huge corners, hairpins, but like you didn't have to overbrake for too many things. We ended up smashing this descent down into Placerville, and it was one of the raddest things I've probably done. 2 a.m., Apple Hill. There's no other condition where you could ride this road without cars, and it was absolutely ripping. All the way down to Placerville, where it's like this old town with like streetlights, and you know, like we get back into streetlights. Like it was just this moment where we're like, dude, we're all awake somehow right now. We're like laughing out loud coming down this descent at 2 a.m., through this road that should be absolutely a zoo with people, and there's not one car, and we're ripping. Like we're all riding really well. And we roll into Placerville, and I was like, that was one of the funnest moments. We all literally looked at each other like that was the sickest thing ever. And it was so fun. That was the highlight of the ride. And I think being so close to home was part of it as well. And also I had shooken that tiredness. Like it's funny because with ultra endurance stuff, people talk about how you get these waves of energy and no matter how bad you feel, it will pass. And I can really attest to that. You know, I felt so tired. I was actually hallucinating and it passed to the point where, you know, without having much more caffeine, I felt so much better. And at that point I just felt super awake. And I'm like, we got to take this thing home. So we ended up getting on Green Valley Road. There's a couple punchers I almost forget about, man. Again, we're back on local roads, but I'm still at the spot where I'm like, dude, I would only be on this road if I was doing like a 60 mile ride. You know what I mean? Like, we're still kind of out here. I only come out of this road once a month on bigger days, you know? And I'm like, gosh, we got this freaking climb. I forgot about this roller. Oh my gosh. And then once I crack over 300 miles, I crack over 29,032 feet for the Everest. And I'm like, dude, we're going to make this thing as flat as we can for the rest of the ride. And we were rolling down Green Valley Road, which was beforehand what I told myself would be like home free. And so we were rolling down this road and we had one little offshoot that was like totally unnecessary. But again, if you were on a normal ride, you would take it because it's a way better road. It's more fun. And Tony asked me if I want to do it. I was like, nope. I was like, we are going straight. I have hit my goals. Get me off of this bike. I'm not taking any of that off. He's like, are you sure? I was like, don't even ask me again, dude. Don't even think about it. And so right at that point too, we see a little headlight and we notice there's a rider on the side of the road. And Greg Young, this is crazy. So Greg and I have been friends for a few years now. We really met kind of through Dialed Health and actually I think through mountain bikes beforehand, but he was the winner of the first Dialed Health Shred. This guy has, we're about to do an update with him. One of the most insane transformations ever. And he's waiting on the side of the road. It's 3 a.m. and we ride by. He's like, what's up? I'm like, are you kidding me, Greg? You know, and there was something about the familiarity of someone I know on roads that I know that all of a sudden made me feel like I did it. And it was like the combination was so, it was just such a good feeling. Even thinking back on it right now, I was like, it was just what I needed, you know? And so I saw him and he's like, I was like, what are you doing, dude? It's 3 a.m. We're, you know, 3.5-4 hours behind schedule. Like, what are you doing? He's like, you know, man, I was going to race today. There was actually one of the first off-season races today, XC races. But he's like, I was watching your live tracker. He's like, I couldn't sleep, man. I kept checking it. And he's like, I had to finish this thing out with you. And I was like, dude, I'm going to shed a little tear over here. That is the coolest thing. And before I even got done talking to him, all of a sudden we see this truck parked on the side of the road. And we see a guy standing and it looks like he's trying to give us like a bottle hand up or something. And I have no idea who this was. And I realized he has handfuls of these 2-pack Oreos, like something you'd give in like a Halloween bag or something. Of course, they were double stuffed because this guy obviously has good taste. And so he's giving us Oreo hand ups. Someone grabs one and I look at him like, who are, like, what is going on? He jumps in his truck, drives in front of us, reparks and does it again. And I get a hand up from him and I stuff like all my cargo bib pockets with these Oreos, which by the way, cargo bibs are insane. The amount of stuff you can pack in those pockets, it's like you can get more in a cargo bib pocket than you can in a jersey pocket, at least the ones from LEL. It's huge. So I see this guy and I'm like, dude, he didn't say a word. At least I don't remember him saying anything. And it was so dark, I couldn't really see who it was. So Oreo guy, who are you? Tell me who you are. We're obviously following the live tracker. It's 3 a.m. You waited till we got back into town and then you handed up Oreos and then you drove around and did it again. What an absolute legend. Like that right there, that's the type of thing where I'm like, oh my gosh, like people care about this. And like, I'm so happy I didn't give up. Like obviously the goal was the self-supported thing, but I probably couldn't have done it without the jacket. And I've still like done the main thing I wanted to do. It's just insane. Like, I can't believe people would literally spend their entire day to support me like that, you know? And for this guy, an entire night and probably in the next day, because, you know, his sleep's all jacked up. He's not getting a good night's sleep after that. Same with Greg. So that was just insane. We turn onto very, very local roads now. And I'm like, yo, we're going to flatten this route out as much as possible. It's funny because if you're local, we went the way that no local would ever go because it's like so boring and direct. Like we go straight down Auburn Folsom to Douglas, where my old training studio was. We go Douglas all the way back into Roseville, which is like just a -1% the whole way, dead straight. And what's hilarious too is that's a very busy road that people drive like 55 miles an hour on during the day. But we just were riding down the center of the lane. And we had my dad actually behind us in the car. sort of, you know, diverting traffic or whatever, but still we're just cruising in the middle of the lane. It's almost 4 a.m. We're rolling back on local roads. We go under the tunnel through, I'm actually leading this point because no one knows like the way to get right back to my house. So I'm leading us through the tunnel I ride through on almost every ride. And then we get past this one intersection that's like a mile from my house. And I realized, I was like, oh, that's where we turned this morning. And I like look at Tony. I was like, yo, we're about to close the loop. And I'm not much of a map nerd, but that was insane because I was like, oh, this morning, or excuse me, yesterday morning, 24 hours ago, we made a left turn at this light. And that's when we started the loop officially. And right now we're rolling through this intersection. We're closing the loop. Like, it blew my mind, honestly. And it blew Tony's mind too. He was stoked. Got a video of it. We come over the last little crest. We're on the last road before turning into my neighborhood. I dropped the hammer, threw down like 300 and something watts for like 30 seconds just to drive it home. And then turned into my neighborhood, rolled in, hands up. Zach was waiting for us on the video. And that was it, man. I was back to my house almost 24 hours to the T. Everest Rome completed, 326 miles and 29,032 feet of vert. Actually more than that, 500 more than that. And it was crazy. I was like beyond relieved, you know. It was almost 4:30 in the morning by this point. I rolled back in. My wife actually baked a big thing of cookies waiting for me and waiting for everybody. And roll back in, we're sharing some cookies. I'm taking off my socks, which really needed to happen like 10 hours ago. And I'm just in my garage, like literally what just happened. And you know, it's funny, on my Instagram post, I know it's kind of like intense, but I wrote, you know, on Friday morning at 4 a.m., I left my driveway basically wondering what the biggest ride I can do in 24 hours was. And on Saturday at 4 a.m., I rolled back up that driveway with all those questions answered. And I don't know how else to put this ride, but that's exactly what it was. I literally went out and did the biggest ride I could do in 24 hours. And I could tell, I just told you guys what happened. You know, it's like solving the mystery. So super proud of it. Beyond grateful for everyone that came out and showed up. And yeah, it's just like kind of surreal even thinking about it. I'm really, really grateful that I'm able to physically do this and mentally do it, and also have a platform to use it to try and inspire people to start moving forward. That's what it's all about. And now we're going to talk recovery a little bit. I'm going to take a little sip of water. We're going to wrap this up. All right. So you get yourself, you get those emotions out of you. You get those tears out of your eyes right now. All right. Hang on. Okay. I'm coming back. So we finished the ride. Now, I'll tell you guys, a ride that big takes a second to upload, which is pretty annoying when you know that it's got to be on Strava when people wake up. So I basically ended the ride, showered, ate some food, horrendous acid reflux. Like, I could barely eat the beef teriyaki bowl my wife had left for me. I told her, I just want some hearty food. Like, that's it. I had the beef teriyaki bowl. I had one of those cookies, and she had like pints of Ben and Jerry ice cream waiting for me in the freezer. She had all everything. I actually had her go and get like all these groceries while I was gone, just so when I got home, I had options. But I eat, I shower, the ride uploads, I upload the ride. By the time I go to bed, it's like 6:30 in the morning. And I kid you not, by 8:15, I think, my kids were running laps in my house so loud, literally banging on my doors. I mean, I never sleep past 7 a.m., like ever. Like, it's so rare. I'm usually up before my whole family. So like once they were up, it was so loud. I was like, there's just no way I can go back to bed. So I literally at 8:30, after 2 hours of sleep, after all that, I was like, well, I guess I'm going to get up. And that's when I recorded a video before reposting a bunch of stuff on my Instagram story. And everyone was like, dude, you look so puffy. Even my mom was like, I have never seen your face look like that. And I looked back at the video and I was like, whoa, you know, like I looked kind of like I just rode for 24 hours and then got 2 hours of sleep. So I basically was an absolute zombie. Lish made me breakfast, pancakes, eggs, bacon, unbelievably good. I poured so much syrup on my plate. I had 4 pancakes that she actually laughed out loud at me. And I looked at her and I was like, I promise you this isn't enough. And I needed more. And I poured more on when I soaked all of it up. it was like a little pool on my plate. It was insane. Like a large dinner plate, so much syrup. And the bacon was incredible. The hearty food. That was one thing throughout this whole ride. And even the days after, you would think I would just want junk food. And I did. But I wanted hearty, like stick to your ribs food, you know, pancakes, eggs, and bacon. I wanted like all meat pizza. Like I didn't really want the sweets as much as I thought I would. Now I did have them. Like there was the following day for lunch, we had leftovers. I had pasta with like 8 ounces of ground beef and like marinara sauce. And then I had like 4 cookies. So it was definitely the appetite you would expect, but I was craving heartier food than I expected. I mean, I had so much protein after this ride, which I think actually helped me recover a lot. I started just dumping all the supplements, strong greens, strong reds, all the vitamins, the zinc, the everything, all the protein, all of it, all the creatine, just getting like strong again. And so, yeah, the food was good after, but that day, I got like an hour nap because Lish took the kids to the park. And then we went to church, which, you know, was a good idea, I think, because it's pretty chill. There's daycare. But what's funny is that after a thing like this, even if you feel good, you don't want to get too excited and go do something that you're really committed to because you might hit a slump. And that's what happened. Like as we were leaving church, I got unbelievably tired. And so it's like you just hit these slumps and you hit them really hard. It's like your hunger too. You'll feel kind of normal. And then all of a sudden you feel a little hungry. And then 5 minutes later, you are ravenous. So there's these like sharper edges to the ebb and flow of, you know, hunger, of your tiredness, of all that. And I think what was crazy was that that following night, I tried to go to bed. And I've heard about this happening with endurance athletes, but I had a really hard time falling asleep. I actually laid down and my heart rate felt crazy. It felt like my heart was pounding way too hard, way too fast. Every like 60 to 90 seconds, I had to take like a really deep breath and I just felt so restless. It took a while to fall asleep. And I was talking to Lish about it because I normally am the guy who like hits his pillow and is out. And so it was really weird. It took me like 30 to 45 minutes to fall asleep. That night, very sweaty in bed. I don't know why 100% yet, but the following night, so I was like sweaty, but I just like flipped my pillow over when I woke up and I was able to go back to bed. The following night, I didn't have the heart and breathing issues, but I woke up at 2 a.m. and my bed was drenched. Literally from my ankles up to my head, I was like, I can't even lay back down on this. Like, I don't even know what to do. I'm so sweaty. And I didn't wake up hot. It was weird. And so I ended up just like swapping pillows, putting my comforter back down, like remaking my bed essentially on the side I was sleeping on. And then I put clothes on and grabbed blankets from the couch and brought them in and finished my sleep that way because it was drenched and Lish had to wash the sheets the next day. And I was talking to Tyler, my sports marketer, sports manager. He was like, dude, he's like, after my femur surgery, the same thing happened to me. And it's like, your body's trying to recover so much while you sleep, you end up sweating like that. So I don't know if you guys have ever experienced that, let me know. I'm really curious about it, but thankfully it didn't happen the following night. It was just that like second night pouring sweat, which was wild. And then really other than that, guys, I just got back into it. Already had a strength workout, light jog, already had a little ride. Just, you know, trying to get good sleep, making sure I'm fueled. Also just letting myself kind of eat whatever. I will say once you eat bad food a couple days in a row, your cravings for bad food get a lot higher, which I'm already noticing. I need to like chill a little bit. You know, I'm not trying to come out of this thing heavier than I was, but yeah, I'm just trying to enjoy it. Like, enjoy the accomplishment of it all. I'm really proud of this whole thing. And, you know, I want to make sure that I recover to a point where I'm actually strong and maybe gain some fitness from this. So I'm not trying to overdo it, but I also, it's like my body was craving a strength workout, which is kind of interesting. It's like, I just needed to like recalibrate, get back onto a normal schedule. And that's what I've been doing. So hopefully by next weekend, I'll be ready to race some gravel at Heart of Gold. We'll see. I'm planning on it, but I'm also telling myself, like, if a hard effort doesn't feel, if I don't feel ready for it, I'm not going to push it. There's no reason. Like this ride was so huge that I respect it and I'm going to give it the time it needs. So if I race, it's because I'm feeling good already. If I don't, it's because I don't feel like I'm there yet, which either one's totally fine. And then we're going to finish out the month of October with some really cool riding stuff. I'm going to be going down to SoCal for Phil's Cookie Fondo. I got some other things planned as well. So anyways, thanks for listening to this recap. I did not think this would go almost an hour and a half, but look at, here we are. Hopefully it gave you some insight as to what I went through and, you know, was entertaining for you guys to listen to. So really appreciate all the support and stay tuned for the upcoming bike check that will be on YouTube next week. And we're also going to have the actual film itself come out on YouTube sometime in October. Zach Youngberg, same guy who filmed Double Everest, is going to be doing it. We're not doing an official premiere like we did last year, even though it was incredible. I'm honestly just trying to be smarter with my money. That premiere cost a lot of money and it came out of my pocket. And it's not that I don't want to do it again, but again, I'm like, I gotta like let that one be. So anyways, I'm not going to do an official premiere. I might do like some kind of viewing party or something, but yeah, I'm just really stoked on this whole project and, yeah, who knows what it'll lead to next, but I think it's pretty safe to say that I have kind of closed the loop on this whole Everesting thing. You know, I started back in 2021 doing the trail bike Everest, and then I did a road bike Everest a few months later. Last year I did the double Everest, and now I did the Everest Rome. So feel really accomplished with that whole lane. And I think it's time to kind of move on to some other type of challenge. We're going to see what that is. I don't know what it's going to be. Quite frankly, I don't even want to think about it yet. I'm going to let it come to me, kind of like I did for this. But the Sacramento to Lake Tahoe ride is officially done. My 300-mile ride is officially done. And my Everest Rome is officially done, all in one boot. So that's it, guys. Start moving forward and stay tuned for a really sick podcast episode next week. I already have it recorded. Super dope. You guys rule. Have an awesome week.